This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela,
which is just a very extra way of saying
a podcast. I'm Diosa Fem.
And I am Mala Munoz. We're podcasting through another Trump election year. We've been podcasting through election years, a global pandemic, civic unrest, political controversies, the Me Too movement, the rise of TikTok, and we are still here. We're not done telling stories.
We're still making podcasts. We're older, we're wiser, we're even podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
Since 2016, we've been making Locatora Radio independently until we joined iHeartMedia's My Cultura Network in 2022.
From our lips to your ears, fall in love with Locatora Radio like you never have before.
Welcome to Season 9.
Love at first listen. Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome to Season 9 of Locatora Radio. I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
Locatora Radio is a podcast dedicated to archiving our present and shifting the culture forward. You're tuning in to Capítulo 193.
And this is the very first episode of Season 9.
And on today's episode, we're joined by Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. But before we get into the interview, we want to take some time to intro this season and what we hope to get out of Locatora Radio Season 9.
So let's talk about our brand new theme for this season, Love at First Listen.
It's so cute. It's one of my favorite themes. They're all my favorite themes. Each year, it's my favorite theme.
Each year gets cuter and cuter and cuter and cuter. And this season, we owe our new theme to our listener, longtime listener, shout out Karina Monroy. She's been listening since the beginning of the podcast, all the way back to our very first season. And she recently said on Instagram that listening to Locatora Radio was, quote, love at first listen. And we just loved that quote.
I DM'd Karina and was like, girl, can we use this to brand our season 9? And she said yes. And so we want to shout her out. So thank you, girl, for the inspo. And I think that leads us to talk about what love at first listen means. I think it also encapsulates what Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, has been since 2016. It's been a community space, community driven, a digital community space, if you will, where I think our listeners have been able to learn more ways to love themselves and love their culture, love their community. And love is so complex. It's not just romantic, platonic, oh, I'm so in love with you, I love you. It's like, I love you and I want to make you better. I love you and I want to push you to be the best version of yourself. I love you, so we're going to unpack these things on Locatora Radio.
Absolutely. And not only love of self, but I think you all have learned to love us. Specifically as individuals, as hosts, as artists, as people. And for me, I think Love at First Listen is also about how you guys have loved the show through all of the stages and all of the seasons from our super duper indie era, when our sound quality was not the best, you still loved the topics, the conversations, and the guests. You loved the talks about politics, sex, and feminism. And now you can also love the sound quality and the production quality, which has just gone up and increased. I think we've gotten better and better every season. We've really figured out our sound and our flow.
Yeah, and with that, we're also changing it a little bit this season. We'll still be archiving and interviewing the stories of our community, of our guests, but we're also going to switch it up. And the ways in which we conduct interviews will also be a little bit different. So we're really excited to kind of play this season and really tap into like the creative side of Locatora Radio in the audio. I think we're very creative with visuals. And I think we, over the past seasons, have gotten very comfortable in our format. And so we're pushing ourselves to be more creative this year with the format. And so a lot of things will stay the same, but there will be some things that will be new. And we're really excited to roll those out. And they'll be on a rolling basis all season.
So in addition to the amazing guests and artists that and creatives that we bring on for our interviews, we will be inviting some of our favorite journalists and organizers to have their own sort of mini segments on Locatora Radio. So those will be rolling out later this season.
The biggest update, I think, for season 9 is that our audio editor, Stephanie Franco, is joining us as a producer. She has been editing our podcast for the last 2 seasons. She's been working behind the scenes before that as well. But we're really excited to bring her on as a producer officially for Locatora Radio. And this is a really big deal for us because we've been executive producing ourselves for 8 years now. We have never really asked for help. We've never really gotten creative input from others. We're obviously open to suggestions from our listeners, but to have someone else in the mix kind of pitching ideas and moving us along is new to us. And I'm really excited to see what that will bring for us this season.
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, not to brag, but most of your favorite podcasts have like big old teams behind the show. There's the hosts, but then in addition to the hosts, there are different levels of producers and managers and writers and sometimes fact checkers. And we really have been pretty self-contained. Once we joined the My Cultura Podcast Network, that really expanded our resources and the team. And Stephanie has been this really constant part of our process for some time now. And we couldn't do what we're doing now at this level without her. So we're really excited to just continue to grow and to continue to bring more art into the world. As you know, with every new season comes a new visual trailer, new music, new sound effects, and season 9 is no different. We want to shout out Jessica Magana, Red Heart Media, who is such a one-woman production team, such a wizard at set design, at videography and cinematography, and at editing. And of course, shout out to our makeup artist, Roberto Carlos, who has been making us beautiful for many, many years now. Check out our season 9 visual trailer, our visual promo on Instagram, on TikTok. We're at Locatora_radio. We had a lot of fun this year with the visuals. We always do. Another person that we want to shout out for really giving us a whole new sound, whole new vibe this season is Crisol. We love Crisol. She's been making music for Locatora Radio and scoring our shows, as well as Marihuanera, for a couple seasons now. Yeah. And so the fun, like, transitional music and ad break music and our promo music and things that you hear, including the singing, that's Crisol. Localandia. That's the team.
Yeah, a small but mighty team. And while we've been away, we've been busy. We've been off, but we've not been off at all.
Right, because off season is really just prepping for the next season.
Yes. And not only that, I can share with y'all that our new podcast has officially been greenlit. It will be on the My Cultura Podcast Network. It's a co-production, and it's coming in August 2024. That's all I can say right now, but just know, now there's an official launch date. We've been kind of teasing it, but for so many different reasons, it got pushed back, and so we're super excited to see the show out in the world very, very soon, and we can talk more about it and the process, because it was a long, long process, even pre-My Cultura days. So we will talk more about that later, but we were working on that too, and Mala was in grad school, and I was running a marathon. Like, we were busy working and living and working and living.
100%. And that show, I think, is an example of don't throw your ideas away. Right. Because that's an idea that started with just a name, just the name of a potential show. And now it's become a fully fledged co-production with a team that is coming out in August. And I think that's where everything starts, is with an idea. Keep your ideas and remember that you have a vault of ideas, because you can always go back to them. Somebody just might ask you, do you have more things? Do you have more? Is there more material? Or do you have more ideas? Actually, yes, we do. So I don't know, be inspired by us. We are the proof.
Yes, I am constantly inspired by us. I'm inspired by Mala constantly, the way she puts herself out there with her acting, with her film. During our last episode of last season, Mala alluded to being in a sketch comedy show called Single Writers. I went out, of course. I try to go to all of Mala's things that she does for the first time. Yes. Like, first time, Laugh Factory, I'm there. Maybe not the second time, but I'm there for the first time. And so she did this sketch comedy show, and I was so impressed by you. Obviously, I know you're super talented. I work with you. But to see you put yourself out there and like acting and doing the sketch comedy, like, I admire it so much, because I don't have that in me. Like, I don't have that desire to do that, but I respect it so much. And it was you killed it. You were so good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let me return the compliment, because you literally ran a marathon. And so I went with you to Zion when you ran. How long was that race?
That was 13 miles. That was in 2022.
Yeah. So I went with you to Zion to see you run that race. And Brianna was also there. This time around, you literally ran the LA Marathon, and you like beat your own like PR that you were like, you know, I think you were working with your coach, and you set a time, like a goal time.
Yes.
And you beat it.
Yes.
And you did not stop running. You ran the entire 26.2 miles, which also, like, I don't know. I don't have it in me. It's just not in me, you know. So I was just so inspired by you. I like wanted to cry.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, my God, she did it. And your mom was there, and your friends. And it was just so fun and exciting, and like, what a huge accomplishment that, like, very few people in the history of the world have accomplished. You know, when we think about, like, relative to the population of humanity, not that many people have completed marathons.
Yeah, I think the stat is like less than 1% of the population runs a marathon. And it doesn't feel that way to me, because it feels so skewed now that I'm like in a running community. I'm like, yeah, everybody's running marathons.
Right.
But
right.
Actually, no.
No.
Actually, nobody's running marathons.
No, it's pretty wild.
Yes. Thank you.
So,
thank
you. You are an elite athlete.
Thank you, girl. I'm not, but thank you. I'm elite to you.
Yes.
I love
to me,
that.
You are the elite. You are the top of the top. So, you know, look at us. Look at us just doing it.
Yes. We were busy off season, busy making new shows, busy working, running the streets of LA, literally.
Literally.
And doing sketch comedy and being in grad school.
And podcasting.
And podcasting.
It's just, I'm just so happy for us. Like, look at, I do think I like this little life.
Yeah.
Look at what we've made.
Yes.
It's cute.
It's cute.
Like 5 years ago, dude.
Yeah. I think I'm in a place now to really appreciate the life that we've built. I think last year when I was, or 2023, yeah, being in grad school, and then the years before that, juggling all the jobs, it's really hard. I mean, it's really easy to take it for granted, to not be grateful because you're so tired, you're so busy. And I think now I have so much space in my life in a very positive way that I can actually like this little life, and I can actually be grateful and appreciative and see what's in front of me, as opposed to always running to the next thing.
Yeah.
So it's given me that perspective too.
Yeah. We can sort of, now we can focus in. we're expanding and adding, but also focusing.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yeah.
I think we used to do a lot more, and the pandemic changed this, of course. Nothing is the same after the pandemic.
No.
Nothing.
We're not the same.
We're not the same.
Nobody's the same.
But as a show, we used to do a lot more, like, in-person events and hosting and parties, and that is not has not so much been part of our lives.
Right.
Not to the degree that it once was. But I think we've gotten way deeper into, like, the craft of what we do,
yeah,
and the process and the practice and like honing the skills and adding new skills to like really become very professional creatives.
Yeah, because I think before it didn't matter if we were going to run ourselves ragged and working at my house until 2 a.m. every
yeah.
day. We were going to get the live show done.
Yeah.
We were going to get Locatora Live, a podcast party, done.
Yeah.
We were going to build our own sets. And we did.
And we did. And it was so fun.
And I think that served that stage of our lives. And while we still love the live shows, we still want to do more live shows in the future. I think it's not just us that's changed, but it's also our listeners. Like, mm-hmm. our listeners aren't necessarily out and about the way they were either, because you also changed during the pandemic,
yeah.
right? It wasn't just us. And I think the way people show up has changed. And so just changing with the times, navigating, all of us maturing, all of us growing up. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's changed.
It's changed. Our listeners have children.
Yeah.
They like, if they were in school when they started listening, they have advanced degrees now. They're doing incredible work in their own fields. It's just really, it's been fun. We've all kind of grown up over the airwaves together in this way.
Yeah, that's why we're archiving our present.
And shifting culture towards the future.
Because not only that, I mean, in addition to what you're saying, adding to what you're saying, thinking back, I was looking at the comments when we had Curly and Maya last season, and someone commented, I've been listening to y'all since high school.
Wild.
Love it.
Yeah.
But like, we've really been doing it for that long that people have graduated high school and maybe have graduated college also.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been 8 years. So yeah, you could have actually listened to us beginning of high school to end of college.
So true. Jen Torres, yes. basically.
Yes.
We have raised children.
We're mothers.
We're mothers.
Tell your mother that we are mothers.
You have other mothers. And it's us.
Don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss our interview with Natalia Laforcade. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together. And that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr. And on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me, sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura podcast network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. We have such a fun, exciting, special interview for you all today on this episode of Locatora Radio. And we did something that we don't always do. We recorded our interview on location, in the field. We went to our interview guest, and it was quite the whirlwind, actually, just getting there and being there. The interview itself was an experience in and of itself. Diosa, take us there. Walk us through it.
Earlier this year, we were invited to sit down with Natalia Laforcade, and of all days, Los Angeles is hit with a storm. Local news stations are advising the public to stay inside, but we had an interview to do, so we drove to Stony Studios anyway.
At first, we were concerned because there was like a super long line, like of people waiting to get into the studios. And we, you know, have a deadline, and Natalia only has a certain amount of time with us. So we got there super early and we see this long line and we're like, oh my God, do we need to wait in this line to check in? But no, it was for what? Wheel of Fortune.
We're in the lobby. We're waiting for our tiny little crew to arrive. This is one of the biggest artists that we've interviewed thus far. And because of that, we decided we have to bring a crew with us. I can technically record for us remotely, but I don't want to risk it. I don't want anything to go wrong. So our friend Thelma captures behind the scenes content, and our friend and journalist Megan Tan audio engineers that session for us. And she makes us so comfortable. She makes sure to get all the right audio, volume, everything. The tape is good.
Lista?
Thank you.
Okay. I know. No, we're good. Ready? Yeah.
Natalia, es un placer estar aquí con usted.
Gracias.
How are you feeling today?
Well, very good, very happy. I love the rain. That's normally the weather where I live in Veracruz. It rains a lot. And I love it. I love it. I'm very happy to be here.
It's a beautiful day, and we're thrilled to be here at Sony with you mm-hmm. to talk about your music, mm-hmm. the Grammys,
yeah.
and everything in between.
Yeah, everything in between. That's right.
So thank you for sitting down with us today. We have tons of questions. We're so curious about your process, your journey, the newest music, and this nomination.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
So just to get us started, I want to ask you about the making of this album. I read and I learned that you recorded it on analog tape.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me more about that.
That is something I wanted to do since very long ago. You know, I was listening very, like, a lot of music from Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, Joni Mitchell, Etta James. I don't know. Like, there were so many inspiration in music. And I realized those albums from the past were recorded that way. And that it was also live, like live music, real, like not click, very organic, everyone in the same room. Those albums, I really like those. And I never tried that on an album. Maybe the one that has more that kind of recording is the Musas that I did with the Macorinos. It was almost everything done like at once, like we all together. But for this album, I was talking with the producer about having this type of recording sessions at Sonic Ranch, and that's how we did it. And it was amazing. It gets you in a mood. It gives you a lot of adrenalina because you are like, okay, like if I make any mistake, my goal on the tape. We only had probably 8 tapes because they're pretty expensive and the budget was just like one budget we had. So it was like, this is what we got, 20 minutes per tape. So it was probably 4 or 5 takes for each song of the album. So that was good for us because we were very, you know, focused and present and giving all our best that we could give for every track. So it was really special and different for me.
And how did improvisation figure into the recording of those tracks? Or were you super rehearsed, super prepared? Or did you go in and just like let it rip?
Not really that much rehearsal. I wish we had that, because there's only like two songs on the album that now I listen to them and I am like, maybe a little faster would have been better for the song. It gives you this vibe, like very calm. But Adan, the producer, he didn't want me to rehearsal a lot, practice a lot with the band that we had. And we had great musicians. We had Mark Ribot with us, which is like one of my favorite guitar players. We had Emiliano Dorantes. He comes from a very great background in music because he normally plays like classical music. So he was bringing all that context and music to the project. Then we have Cyril Atef, and he was really like good drummer. Like I love the way he plays. So everyone, Sebastian Seinberg, and also me on the guitar. So it was all of us at once. And Adam was saying like the importance, which I believe too, the importance of having like something coming from who knows what place. It's just like something is coming through us at the moment. But to do that, like you, at least I had to prepare a lot myself with my guitar, my songs, like almost like knowing the song in my memory and playing like just like that. But I didn't have that much time. So I really was like very present, and I had the lyrics in the front, and there were moments I couldn't even play the chords because I didn't know where I was going with my guitar, you know. But that was beautiful because then I was letting somebody else like to come into the song and play the right chord right at the moment when I wasn't playing, you know. So it was like, I don't know, it felt like a dance, you know. It was really like very strong connection between us and presence and inspiration in this wonderful room we had.
It sounds very collaborative.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it was very, very like sharing what everyone was able to give at the moment, mm-hmm. you know, but also finding the right thing to do for the song, for what the song is telling, and just to give it out. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned listening back to some of the tracks, some of the songs, and maybe hearing things that you would have changed.
Yeah.
Does that happen often? Do you have music that you listen back to it and I don't like it that much, or don't include it in the album, or years later does it sound different to you?
Yeah, most of the time, but from maybe more from the very first moment of my path and my career. I think I was listening to the first album maybe 2 months ago. Yeah, I was just like, I want to remember.
Nostalgic.
Nostalgic. Nostalgic. I got very nostalgic and I was like, I'm going to listen to all the albums I made. I just feel like I want to remember. And I was listening the first one and I actually liked it, you know. Like for many years, I was like, I don't like this album anymore. And I don't know, I was fighting with my own music in a way, or the way I was doing it. But then I realized how much every album of my career is very of the moment, como muy fiel, very loyal to the moment that I was living and I was having. So, of course, there's little things I am like, I wish I could change this because it's recorded and it's going to be there forever. But at the same time, I'm glad I can't, because it's something special from the moment, como una fotografía,
yes.
No?
An archive.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. A musical archive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that, because that's a great transition to this question that I have for you. The Todas las Flores was released in 2022. Mm-hmm. And obviously we're in 2024 now. You're gearing up for the Grammys. Mm-hmm. How do you think the album changed you, or how have you changed since this album has been out in the world?
I don't know how you say that in English, but it's like un parteaguas, como un moment mm-hmm. in my life, before and after the Todas las Flores, because this album is probably the most personal album I've done so far. Might be another ones, but for me, when I finished this one, I was like, I don't know if anybody's gonna connect to this music, because it's so my story, my broken moments. It definitely comes from a broken moment, you know, when you are heartbroken, but then it's your life. It's not the same for everyone around, but for you, it's like, I need to start all over again. And that encounter, would you say, como encuentro, mm-hmm. that like it having to reinvent my world, my universe, that's why I use the metaphor of the garden, because it's like you go back to your own inner garden mm-hmm. and you need to search it. You need to see what's in there. You need to reinvent yourself. So I found it so beautiful to do that. And for me, this album was my teacher, my master in the sense of the lyrics of the songs. There were songs I didn't know what I was writing. I was just feeling very broken, like Pajarito Colibri, which is a very simple and basic message. Like, just be happy. Like, you came to this life and to this world to live a human experience and to be happy. Like, just get out, live your life. I don't know, like, be happy. Like, that, in a way, there was something around me saying, like, come on, girl. Like, do it. You can go. It was so simple that I thought, I'm not going to use the song. It's so basic. Then Adan was saying, like, no, this must be in the album. This is really important for the story of all the songs and what's in there. So I am very grateful to this one. And I take it as I was reading the book last night, trying to reconnect, you know, because it's months since I recorded the album mm-hmm. and we finished the tour, and then I knew I was going to have interviews, and I just feel like sometimes I forget everything. So I was trying to remember the process, and I was reading the text, and I was finding like very like important information in there. So I think this is going to help me the rest of my life to go back to my roots, my inner world and universe, and take care of that garden.
We hope you're enjoying our interview with Natalia Lafourcade, but don't go anywhere, Locamores. We'll be right back.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for insuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura Podcast Network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows, wherever you listen to podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back.
Speaking of your inner garden, Do you like to garden? Do you have a garden at home?
Yeah.
What are you growing? What do you like to cultivate?
I am really like not so good at it, but I have my, for example, I love having my, I don't know the names in English, but I have my, tengo mi jardín de albahacas, de lavanda, de romero, de, mm-hmm. de ruda, mm-hmm. which are very good plants to clean.
Yeah, you know, the like cleansing plants.
I love that. Tengo muchas bugambilias.
Mm, beautiful.
Uh-huh, because that is one of my favorite flowers since it's very... como una wire, no? Mm-hmm. Como es muy strong. Like, she doesn't care if it's too cold or sunny. Like, a lot of sun, and it's very hot, and she's very strong. So I love that flower. And in Veracruz hay muchas orquídeas. Mm. Entonces tenemos muchas orquídeas, jasmine, all the flowers that I mentioned in the song Muerte. Like, those are the flowers of my garden. A lot of trees. Where I live, there's a lot of el nacaxtle, la higuera, el palo mulato, all those trees. Like, it's really beautiful. Bamboo, mucho bambú y mucho platanar. Yeah, a lot of green.
That sounds beautiful. Would you say that's like one of your creative hubs, your creative space where you have a studio, right, in Veracruz as well? So do you think having your physical garden also helps you create?
A lot. I have this aralias, which is one of my favorite tree, and I plant them all the way to the studio because I just felt like I want to see them and be there, you know. It feels good for me to be in Veracruz, to have this space where I can... It's like my little space, you know. Es, no sé, como un escondite. Mm-hmm. Lo siento como un espacio de regeneración también. Como, and that's my working place. So I love to spend time there. We actually record part of the album there. We were doing the chorus and the strings and also the brass section in my studio. And the other part was in... Sonic Ranch in Texas, in El Paso.
Oh,
so
nice.
Completely different.
Yeah, so different.
Is it?
Gosh, I have so many follow-up questions. I want to ask about this book you have here in front of you, De Todas las Flores. Mm-hmm. Is this like a lyric book? Is this writings on the process?
Have you seen it?
No.
Can you show it to the camera so we can see it?
Oh, yeah. This book is part of the, we call it the sisters projects of the Todas las Flores.
Mm. Okay.
In this album, when I was in the studio, I felt like I had so much to tell. So I was like, okay, I want to do a podcast and I want to make a book and I want a movie and I want the music. Then I didn't realize how much work that was going to be.
Sure. Yeah.
So it was crazy. I mean, we don't have the movie done and we had the visual art for the shows. We're trying to figure out if that's going to be video clips, probably, because I didn't have video clips in this project. Lyric videos, but not really video clips. And this book is like an album. Like, it's like photos. Or I'm going to give
it's
it to
beautiful.
You. So you can just take it. It's all the process of the album, you know. I wanted to share it this time. And it's the lyrics of the songs. Here is the map of the different projects of the album, moments at the studio recording the music, this interview, Spanish, English, and also the lyrics, Spanish and English. So I
love this so much. It reminds me back in the day when music would come out in a CD and there would be a booklet.
Yeah.
With photos and lyrics and credits and interviews, and you could flip through while you're listening. Is that sort of the energy and the intention behind this?
Totally.
Love it.
Totally. I was concerning a lot the fact that nowadays people don't have that. Yeah, music is different now. You can get to see the lyrics and the papers and all that. So I was thinking small size. So it will feel like Instagram stories,
yeah.
But you will keep it. and it will tell you secrets as you move through the story of the pages, the stories in the on the pages and the lyrics and the hand writing, and yeah, it's like it's a diary,
like handwritten pages.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you really let us into the project, not only with the book, but also the podcast, which I think is quite unique that you made a podcast that accompanies the album and you're talking about the process. So what was your vision behind creating these multiple projects for this one album?
I think I wanted to get closer to the audience, first of all. Mm-hmm. I wanted my followers to feel like they were in my living room, in my house, in my studio, and we were having a conversation, and that I was going to have the opportunity to explain and tell them the story behind, but not in a way like just like fast, like right now, right? Like we're having a conversation, we're connecting each other, mm-hmm. but I got to go, or you got to go, and it's very fast. So I wanted to connect deeper, to go beyond with the story behind the music. So I guess I was just trying to find that way. And then while I was producing the podcast, I was like, wow, this is a lot of work. And it's going to take us days, maybe months. And it was like that. It was like months doing that, because I was doing that for the very first time. But then I wanted to have people coming to the podcast, talking, friends, and they were like, whoa, no, crazy work, but I had a lot of fun doing it.
I love that you're podcasting. You've made a podcast. You've been a guest on podcasts. We're on a podcast right now.
Yes.
I'm curious, do you listen to podcasts, and do you have a favorite podcast?
Yes, I was listening to your podcast yesterday, last night. I was listening to the one from 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so good. You girls, very
you,
good.
Right?
I was,
you.
I was, at first I was like, they talk a lot, and now they're very calm. But
that's so funny.
We do talk a lot.
You girls do really, really good. I really liked it. I don't know, like, I don't listen very often to podcasts. And I don't, to be honest, like, I had very, very little time for sometimes, like, and whenever I have the time, like, I just go silence, or I just go play my piano, sure, my guitar, and do those things. Sometimes people ask, like, do you watch any TV show? Or, and I'm like, really, I don't do that. Like, I go to my tree and I just spend time on my own, and go to my free time. It's like other things, so I'm not so like aware. But now I was listening to your podcast, and I was also listening to Broken Music.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I really liked it too. It was really good. So I don't know, I'm taking the opportunity to come always whenever I'm doing interviews, and that it's a good opportunity for me to see what's going on, because then I go and search what I'm going.
Yeah.
Yes. And the interviews I'm going to have, like, to see what's people doing.
So you were kind of describing, like, your off time, your downtime. What do you do on your days off if you're not touring, if you're in between projects? How are you taking care of yourself?
That's a nice question. I love take care of yourself, yes. I try to keep the balance. I work a lot. My project is demanding. I guess it is for you as well, like, to have your project. Your podcast might be a lot of work, I guess. It is like that. I try to make a good balance, you know. I've been realizing a lot the fact that being the artist that I am right now, and the musician and the songwriter and the woman I am right now, it has been like a lot of growing the last years, and it's demanding, and it's also like there's two parts in the game, right? Like, one is like, oh, I am the artist, and I am the person that wants to be inspired and write music, and just to, I don't know, to have time to hang out with my friends. That's so important for me, to connect with people, because that gives me a lot for writing. Then I am a businesswoman as well. I realized that, like, I can't run away from that fact. It has been for me like a journey of learning how to deal with that, because sometimes it's like, I don't want to be this. But you need to be like that in order to grow and to go forward. So it's been a lot for me, like that journey and learning experience. And I am loving it. I think I'm finding a place where I can say like, okay, I'm going to off and I'm going to do this for myself. But I realized that it needs to be my space. Recently, I just started like playing saxophone. Ooh. I don't know how to play it. Like, I'm really bad. But you know, like that time of just doing like, it's like, I love it so much. For me, it gives me so much energy that I can go back to the emailing and all the things, you know, of my own project and my team.
Can we expect a jazz album in the future?
I hope. Me too, you know, like I wish. I need to find a really good balance so I can study. You need to study a lot for that instrument.
So you have found much success here in the United States. You've performed at Carnegie Hall. Mm-hmm. You're Grammy nominated. You work with Sony. You're here all the time. And you have a lot of fans here in the United States. I'm super curious your thoughts on what it takes for like a Mexican-American artist to find success in Mexico. Over the years, there's been many. There's like Selena Quintanilla, more recently, Yalitza y Su Esencia, Becky G, have gone and performed in Mexico with different degrees of success and acceptance. Mm-hmm. What do you think is like the secret ingredient, the secret sauce to crossing over into Mexico?
Into Mexico. I think for in every context, maybe I would say to really connect to people. I think that's the ingredient in general, to really find a way. You go to different cultures, ways of living, people, like the way they are. Like it's a journey. For me, it has been like that in the United States. I remember 20 years ago, the first time I came, and how many experience and things that happened before I can come and give a concert to 5,000 people, 9,000 people. It's just crazy. Like, I think I didn't imagine like that before, you know, to be at the Hollywood Bowl with Dudamel, like things like that. For me, it's like a dream. But it takes time and you need to be passionate about it and you need to give your love and your time and dedicate a lot to it, to have that. So that's what I did. I think in Mexico, people are so beautiful and open heart for people from other places to come. But you just need to find a way to connect to the culture, people, the way of living, and that would be okay.
I love that. Mm. Thank you. So final question, what's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope. Just to see the transformation that music can make to inside our hearts or our souls, our person. For me, that's all, you know. For me, music is my boss, is my teacher. And there's so many good values that you can see in the music when an orchestra is playing music, when a band, they're getting together, they're connecting, they're doing this chemistry between each other in order to bring someone better than all of us. But the beautiful thing is that magic comes and then we become better because we're all together as one. You know? So I found that so beautiful. Like you give a concert and then the people are all together singing the same song, like hugging each other, dancing, forgetting about like anything, I don't know, whatever, but just being present, you know. And that gives me a lot of hope. That's why I believe so much in music and the music power.
I love it. Natalia, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with us and sharing with us. And we hope you win. We hope you win the Grammy. We're rooting for you.
Qué lindo. Yes. Gracias. Thank you. I think I won already a lot. I can't believe we're here. And very happy to be sharing. I celebrate for my mates, also my colleagues in the category, and let's see what happens. And I mean, I'll be here doing more music. Es un placer platicar con estas chicas. Gracias.
Now, at the time of our interview, Natalia was nominated for a Grammy. But since the interview, Natalia won a Grammy for 2024 Best Latin Rock or Alternative Album for her album, De Todas las Flores.
Thank you to Natalia Laforcade and her team for making this interview possible. One of the things that really resonated with me is that Natalia reminds us that it's okay to be new at something. It's okay to be a beginner. It's okay to try something and not be good at it. And for all my fellow perfectionists out there, take note, because she's learning how to play a saxophone and loves that she sounds terrible. And I think that's so important to really think about and how we can apply that to our own lives. We'll catch you next time, Locamores. Besitos. Locatora Radio is executive produced by Diosa FM and Mala Munoz.
Special thanks to Megan Tan for audio engineering today's episode.
Stephanie Franco is a producer.
Story editing by Diosa FM.
Creative direction by Mala Munoz.
Locatora Radio is part of iHeartRadio's My Cultura podcast network.
You can listen on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Leave us a review and share with your prima or homegirl.
Thank you to our Locamores, our listeners, for tuning in each week.
Localandia. There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.